Well, it may be a small economic experiment for some places, but it's a revolutionary exercise in capitalism for the nation of Cuba. If you're a beauty parlor or a hair salon or a barber shop and you have three seats or fewer, as of today, you're allowed to rent your own space and pay taxes to the government instead of simply receiving a monthly wage from the state. Former President Fidel Castro nationalized all small businesses in 1968. This is part of the reversal. Joining us now, Michael Voss, BBC correspondent in Havana, Cuba. Good morning, Michael.
Good morning, John. Welcome to Havana.
Yes, indeed. Once again, it's always great to talk to you. And Julia Zweig is also with us, director of Latin America's program at the Council on Foreign Relations. She's the author of Cuba, What Everyone Needs to Know. Julia, good morning.
John.
Let's listen to some reaction that we've gotten already. Michael Voss, you're responsible for this, so we're going to play the tape and then you can give me a sense of what it feels like down there in Havana.
It's experimental. I can't really say if it's a good thing or not. I've never worked like this. We're just getting started.
There is uncertainty, but I think that once the leaders meet with the workers, they will explain how it will work. I think there are a lot of people who think it's a good idea. They are all for it.
Well, you're hearing a certain amount of tiptoeing into the market capitalist experience there, Michael Voss. What have you discovered?
Well, yes, I mean, I think people are a little unsure about how this has got to work. You've got to remember that, as you just mentioned, Fidel Castro basically nationalized all small businesses, right down to barbers and shoeshine boys, in 1968. So nobody's used to working for themselves anymore. They're going to have to pay the rent on this place. They're going to have to pay the water and electric bills. The way it's going to work is that the state will work out what the average turnover is for a hairdresser or a barber in that area. They will then every month pay the state 15% of that average, and they can keep the rest.
I mean, Michael Voss, they're going to have to be doing the math. They're going to have to do their own accounting, figure out what their profit is. I mean, it's a fairly big exercise.
It is. But this is quite a small business. I mean, we're talking about, you know, it's really small beauty salons with, as you say, three seats or less. It's not applying to other sectors of the industry yet. This is the big test. President Raul Castro likes to move very slowly and very cautiously. He'll put his foot in the water, see if it works, see what the reaction is. I mean, he started a couple of years ago giving unused, unproductive state-owned land to private farmers. And everyone's been saying, well, that seems to be working. When's he going to move to the urban areas? When is he going to move to industry, to business and everything? And this, I mean, this is a really small first step. But as you say, it is breaking the mold. And so this group of people anyway are going to have to start thinking business-wise right. For themselves.
Well, Julia Zweig, it's fascinating to think about the experience as the Cubans get used to, an experience that we all take for granted here in the United States. But gauge the political significance of this toe-in-the-water approach on the part of the Cuban government.
Well, as Michael correctly points out, the government moves slowly and cautiously because it fears the political implications of growing inequality too quickly, of creating space for economic sectors that then could lobby for more and become political activists in what is still a one-party state. But I think that might be the downside. The upside of this in the political sense is that the material deprivation that Cubans have been experiencing and the really sort of abominable bureaucratic overhang that the state is having to pay for, starting with financing these small businesses, are just too costly, both in terms of fiscally and politically. So there, I think, has been a sense, taking the measure for the last 2 years, that the regime does have the space to open up, that people want to have the opportunity to make good for themselves. And frankly, a 15% payment to the state is very, very low. I think you're going to find that Cubans are going to figure out, because they do know how to do the math and will learn how to do the accounting. It's a smart population, how to do quite well in this sector and possibly subsequent ones after we see how this moves.
Well, Michael, as Julia just referred to, the Cuban government has taken a lot of criticism for its inefficiency. They get 60% of their food or so from imported. And Raul Castro revealed this week that the Cuban government has more than 1 million excess workers on their payrolls. This must be connected to that announcement.
Well, yes. I mean, the problem here is that the economy is not working. And Raul Castro knows that if this system is to survive the generation that made the revolution, both himself and his elder brother, Fidel Castro, they're going to have to put more money in people's pockets. They're going to have to put more food on the table, and they're going to have to show that the system works. And the trouble is that between the international financial crisis, they were battered by three hurricanes, and this over-centralized, unproductive economy, it is in a real mess. And he's looking for ways. At the moment, they're trying to improve the system and make it run more efficiently rather than completely overhaul it. So these are first little tentative steps, if you like, towards letting people run their own business. But there's no signs yet of privatizing major industries, for example.
Oh, Michael Voss, BBC correspondent in Havana, Cuba, giving us a sense of this small experiment. Julia Zweig, director of the Latin America program at the Council on Foreign Relations. I mean, the Cuban government has to allow for the possibility, as Celeste suggests here, of businesses failing. If there are too many workers, some are going to be unemployed. What's that going to look like, and what's the political explosiveness of something like a business failing in public?
You know, I think that kind of dramatic consequence of this tiny step is still premature to anticipate. Some businesses will fail, of course, but I think that they're trying to introduce a sort of dynamism into the economy. So just to go back into history for a little bit, this reform, the small business reform, albeit in broader sectors than just beauty, was put on the table in 1992 or so and then taken off. There are numerous other small-scale businesses that could be open. So even if a couple of beauty parlors or several beauty parlors fail, my guess is that we're going to see additional sectors come in for cooperativization, privatization. There were 200,000 legally self-employed Cuban small businesses in the 1990s. That was cut back to 100,000. It will increase, is my expectation. So they'll be able to absorb some failure.
Interesting stuff. For Julia Zweig, director of the Latin America program at the Council on Foreign Relations, Cuba, beginning with beauty shops, a privatization program that begins today.